Praise God. You know what, folks? If it becomes hard for you to worship, if it becomes hard for you to praise, I would encourage you to take some time, just you and God. Go away for an hour or two and just begin to say, Lord, I need to understand a little bit more about you, and I need to experience your presence in a fresh way. Because, and I'm going to talk about this morning. Thank you, Steve, for leading that song, because it kind of goes very well with what I want to say this morning. But I believe praise, I believe worship, folks, it is crucial. It's crucial for our faith. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. I had the thrill, and I know you've heard this a few times, but I had the thrill last November to spend some time in Israel, to walk where Jesus walked, and we went through a lot of different places. And one of the places that we went to while we were there is the place that Jesus was baptized at the Jordan River, right? And oh, by the way, if you're interested, 2021, okay, that's May of 2021, we're hoping to take a team to Israel once again. If you're interested, talk to me. But, you know, you've seen the pictures of Jesus in the Jordan River, you know, the glory of this river, the beauty of it, and coming out of this fresh, clean, awesome water. It's quite something to see, except when you're there. See, because the Jordan has changed just a wee bit since the time of Jesus. So this is the Jordan. This is me standing at the Jordan. It's pretty dark. It's pretty grimy. I wouldn't go in any further than my ankles. And I tell you why I didn't go in any further than my ankles. It's because the Jordan River is not a clean river. This isn't just sand like the Fraser River. It's dark like this because it's got sand. This is actually raw sewage that they have piped into that river over the years, contaminated agricultural runoff. McLean's did an article on this river in back in 2010, and they said it's not a place that you really want to spend a lot of time in, right? And people were being baptized in that. They're going under the water, and they're coming back up with water in their nose and in their mouth, and I'm thinking, this is not good. And the greatest thing was there were people that were taking bottles. You guys remember this? They were taking bottles of this water, and they're taking it home. I'm hoping not to drink. I'm just saying. So I looked at this water, and I thought, man, that's not what I think about when I think of water. I think about where we get our water from. Now, I don't know about if you know this, but we get our water not from a water tank. I used to think there's just one big water tank, and that's where we're getting our water from. It's got to be a big tank. We get it from a lake up in North Vancouver. It's called the Metro Vancouver Watershed. There's actually three lakes, and you can see them up there. It's a Capilano, it's a Seymour, Lower Seymour, and the Coquitlam Lake. So we get this water, and I had an opportunity. My wife and my family, bless their socks, they got me a helicopter tour. Yeah, that's me. I didn't Photoshop myself in there. That's actually me standing in front of the helicopter and on the top of a mountain. And we flew over this lake, and it's actually quite pristine. It's quite clear. So when you turn on your water, when you turn on your tap, it comes from those lakes up there. And I thought about it, and I thought, where would you rather drink your water from? Just saying. Would you rather drink it from the North Van Lake or from the Jordan River? It's pretty obvious where I want my water from. And the reason I bring your attention to this is because, see, what comes out of us as believers reflects what's inside of us. Now, if we've got the love of Christ, the things that will come out of us, if we have the agape love inside of us, the things that will come out of us will be pure, will be rich, will be refreshing, and we'll talk about that. Or maybe the things that come out of us is contaminating. Maybe it's not so pure. Maybe it's not so rich. Maybe it's something that we shouldn't be talking about a whole lot. I want to talk to you today about agape through you, agape coming out of you. What comes out of you if the love of Christ is in you? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that your love is so incredibly precious. And your love is able to penetrate the darkest, deepest place on this planet and the darkest, deepest heart on this planet. You love everyone, God. Even those that we have a hard time loving. And I pray, God, that as that love has been placed upon our lives and in our hearts, that what comes out of us would honor you. So, God, guide us this morning as we take time to look into your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A few things I want to look at when it comes, what comes out of you or what should flow out of you if your heart is filled with love. I think the first thing, it should be a river of praise, a river of praise. I love what it says in Psalm chapter 119, verses 171. It says this, may my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. This is where, Steve, you hit it right when you sang that song. Oh, praise the Lord of the Lord my God. Overflow means let there be like a river of praise flowing out of me. Not profanity, but praise. And so what is this thing called praise? Well, I looked it up in the dictionary because maybe we're not so 100% sure. Praise is to express admiration or approval of the achievements or characteristics of a person or thing. In our context, praise is to glorify God. And this is what should be coming out of our lives. Now, I grew up in a church that we had a guy in the church that thought it was his spiritual gift to point out the mistakes that I made, especially when I was preaching. He thought that was his spiritual gift. So after every sermon, he would come to me with a list of all the things I did done wrong. You know, and that's one of them right there. You got it. And you know, it's not fun when the first thing a person says to you, go to shake their hand. By the way, I didn't like your shirt. You didn't wear a tie. Where's your socks are not matching. You know, like on and on and on and on and on, right? And so what I did after a period of time is I was a little insecure. So I would be preaching in a way that would please him and not God. And that's not okay. That's not okay at all. But see, I wonder if sometimes we do the same thing in our lives. If we are living in a way that we are trying to please others and not necessarily living our lives as praise unto God. Praise is important, folks. And it's actually important that we don't criticize, but we learn to praise in the appropriate manner. You ever watch a child that you've praised? Come on. Denise, you know what I'm talking about. When a child does something right, now you don't just throw it out there just haphazardly. You do it legitimately, and you give a child, they light up, don't they? It's like, I did this right, you noticed, right? Praise is super important when it comes to people. Now God is not some insecure punk like I was, okay? Nor is he trying to appease others. God doesn't need your praise. Can I make that clear? God doesn't need your praise. He deserves it, okay? He absolutely deserves it. And truth is, you need to give it. Because it's about you having an attitude of worship unto God. So he comes to us to encourage us to get to a place of closeness to him. And that's what praise does. Can I give you, and I'm going to do it anyways, even if you don't want me to, let me give you 10 things we should praise God for. And there's a gazillion others out there, right? But let me just give you a few from scriptures. We should praise God, and this is straight from the Bible, for his wonderful things he has done for us. Stop and think. Stop and think what God has done for you. And if you can't think of anything, that's sad. Because he has done a lot. Thank him for, praise him for the wonderful things he has done. Praise him that he is glorious and strong. There's no one that compares to our God. These are some great scriptures. Write them down. Praise him that he is wise and powerful. I don't know about you, but there's times where I'm sitting there, I'm going, I got no idea what to do. You ever been there? Isn't it good that you can go to a God that is wise and powerful and he can download that stuff? Just download it, God. This computer, it's got a lot of empty space. I'm just saying, download some of this stuff into this brain so that I can make the wise decisions. Praise him for rescuing us from our enemies. That doesn't always mean he's going to pluck you out of the situation, but it can mean, and it does mean many times, he helps us walk through those challenges. What does it say in Psalm 23? Though I walk through the valley of what? The shadow of death. Don't stop there. You walk through it. But God is with you. His rod and his staff, they comfort you. Praise him for that. Praise him for his unfathomable greatness. Praise him that he hears us in times of trouble. Like, these are good verses. You got to read these when you get home. I don't have a time to go through all of them right now. Praise him for rescuing us from oppression and evil people. Praise him, and I could see a lot on that. Praise him for new life he has given us through Jesus. See, folks, what we did here this morning, it wasn't just something we do as a church. When we are here together and we are into the communion, what it is saying, thank you, Jesus. Because here's the thing, if it wasn't for what Jesus did, you wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be here today. We would be in a very different place, and we thank God for what Jesus, the new life he has given us. Praise him for blessing us with every spiritual blessing, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. These are all promises. Praise him that he is strong and that he's a loving God. Give God praise. Take time to praise him for all the things. And there's so much more. Those are just a few. But you know what? If you take time in your time with God, and you begin to read some of these verses, and you begin to praise him for some of these things, I can almost guarantee you that your relationship with God is going to go to a new level. I can almost guarantee you that. I love, again, where it says here in Psalm chapter 119, verse 171, may my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. Overflow, the word in Hebrew is tehillah, not tequila, tehillah. But the word, it means a word of song of praise unto the Lord. You know why we sing here, by the way, on a Sunday? Not that I can hear, we can all hear your beautiful voices. Some of you have better voices than others. Let's just be honest, okay? Why do we sing? Well, we sing because we want to worship God, right? I was reading a book this week, and it's written by a guy, and he said something interesting. He said that worship or singing together is the one thing we do as a church that unifies us, that we do together. So I don't care what you sound like, okay? You may croak like a frog, or you may sing like a bird. Not a crow, but a good songbird. It doesn't matter, but we do this together, unified together to praise God. And you know what the good thing is about praise? Let me give you a few good things about praise. It gets our focus off ourselves and back onto God. Because we spend way too much looking at ourselves and our problems. Like don't. let's focus on God. Praise brings us to a place of humility. Folks, we begin to understand who we are before God and who God is. We're pretty small comparing to his incredible greatness. Praise leaves no room for complaining or negativity. It could be possible. It could be possible, but it would be very hard if you came to a dinner table and said, dear God, I thank you so much for this absolutely putrid beef. It stinks, it smells bad, but I thank you so much. I guess you could do that. But if we begin to praise God, it's kind of hard to be negative, isn't it? If our life is full of praise, it's kind of hard to have an attitude that, quite honestly, it stinks. Okay, just saying. Praise makes room for God's blessing in our lives. It makes room. If we praise, God can pour in more of himself. Praise, it invites his presence. When we are close to God and begin to worship him, guess what? He shows up. I kind of want God to show up in my life. I don't know if you do, but I certainly do. And we need to worship and praise God. Praise, it refreshes and renews us in his presence. It paves the way for God's power to be displayed for miracles to happen. You remember Paul and Silas? Okay, they were in the Bible, for those that don't know who I'm talking about. And they were put in prison. Now think about it. You're put in prison, and they were put in stocks. I don't know if you've ever been in a stock. I'm not talking the stock market. I'm talking about putting stocks where they're hanging there with their feet up in the air and their hands out. It's not a comfortable place, especially not on a cold pavement and so forth. And they were in stocks, and what were they doing? They were praising God. If there's one place I'd be complaining, it would have been right there. God, do you not see all the things I've done for you and how I've been so good and I've told people about you and why am I here? But they praised God. And what happened? Does anybody remember what happened? There was an earthquake. And the Bible tells us that their chains fell off and that the doors flung open. And God says, you praise me, I set you free. Isn't that a beautiful picture? You praise me, I will set you free. And not just them. Because of their freedom, they're able to lead the jailer to the Lord as well. Folks, what comes out of your mouth? Come on, what comes out of your mouth? Listen, I'm guilty. It's not always praise. Quite a lot of times it's not. But can we choose to say, Lord, let it flow out of us as a river flows, a clean, fresh river. Let praise flow out of my mouth. What should flow out of us? It should be a fountain of refreshment. I love what John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39 says. It says this, whoever believes in me, as scriptures have said, what's it say? Streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant his spirit. You can read the rest up there. So here's what's happening. Jesus is at this feast, okay? He's at this feast called the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a seven-day feast. Who says the people back there did not know how to party? It was a seven-day feast, and they're enjoying thinking back of all the things God had done for them when they came out of Egypt. And see, here's the thing. When they were wandering through the wilderness, and I didn't wander, but I saw that wilderness, and there's a few of you that have seen it. It's not a pretty place. It's not a pretty place that they wandered through. There's a lot of rock, and there's very little water, and there's very little fish. Oh, Jesus, very little fish. No fish, actually, whatsoever. Very little food. And they're wandering through this thing, through this place. They totally needed God. Full dependence on God, or else they're not going to make it. But God provided for them. And so at this point in time, they're remembering back of this great provision of God. And then on after seventh day of feast, on the eighth day, they would have a very important time of sacrifice and celebration. And this is where Jesus stood up. On that eighth day, and he stood up and says, whoever believes in me, and it says in the loud voice, the scriptures have said streams of living water will flow from within him. Now Jesus is talking to the Jewish people, the family of God there, as we heard earlier. He's talking about the family, okay? And as he's talking to the family, he says, look, if you believe in me, there's going to be something that's going to rise up in you that's going to be refreshing to your brothers and to your sisters. See, it's going to be the Holy Spirit in you that's going to give you that life, that joy, that refreshment that is going to encourage others. And he says, look, this is not just for now. This is something that I want to see happen for years to come. See, here's the thing. As believers, when we have agape love, the love of God in our life, it should reflect how we relate to the family of God. Are you following me? It should show in how we talk to our brothers and sisters. Now, I don't always get it right. Actually, many times I get it wrong. I remember one time, I can't believe I'm saying this. I remember one time I was, I was talking to someone in the church. This is years ago. That person is not here. Maybe I should say thank you, Lord. But anyways, I was talking to this lady in church, and she was a little bit overweight, and I asked her if she was pregnant. You never ask a lady if she's pregnant. Guys, it's not a good idea, because she wasn't. And it didn't go over well. But my point is, we got to guard what comes out of our mouth. Okay, is it something that is refreshing, or is it something that pulls our brothers and sisters down? See, it's not just something that suggests, that's suggested in Scripture. It's something that's commanded. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11 says, therefore, encourage one another and what? Build each other up. We come to this place, this building. You're the church. This isn't the church. This is just a building. But you as a church come to this building on a Sunday to get built up, to get encouraged, to get prayed for, to be told that you can do this. It's your opportunity to share what's on your heart, but it's also our opportunity to encourage one another. Unfortunately, and I say this with great shame, unfortunately, sometimes we as a church can be the cruelest to each other. I was talking to you about Watchman Nee, the evangelist and pastor in China years ago. And the communists really wanted to discredit him. They wanted to put him down. And there were some people in the church that were, some pastors in the church, that were actually quite jealous of him because God was doing some great things through him. So what they did is they started spreading around lies and propaganda. They started saying, well, Watchman Nee, he's getting money from the States. So he's getting money from different places. So he's just making a lot of money off of his preaching. Watchman Nee, you know, he's meeting with these ladies in these side rooms, and he's doing things that, and they began to spew this awful stuff about this man of God. The church believed that. And many people, not all, but many people turn their back on him. Folks, can I encourage you? What should flow out of us? As Jesus said, what should flow out of us is just refreshment. It's things that should honor. Again, 1 Thessalonians tells us, encourage one another and build each other up. I love what John chapter 13, verse 35 says. It says, and you know this one, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. If what? If you what? If you love one another. He's talking about you, us, as believers. We need to show love for one another and care for one another. So it's got to be, when we have agape in us, it's got to flow out in generosity and kindness to our brothers and sisters. Well, what about those outside the church? Well, I'm glad you asked, because here's what it says. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, it says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, meaning those outside of the church, outside of the family. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. See, folks, your responsibility and our responsibility is pretty simple when it comes to outside the church. Jesus gave us a very simple commandment in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. You may remember it. What does it say? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. He says, go out there and teach and encourage and train and build up and do what you can to bring a message of hope to a world that needs to hear the hope of Christ. We are so blessed in this church. I can't even tell you how blessed we are on many levels. I'd love for you to all stand up here and see what I see here this morning. I see people from many different nations, different cultures, different ethnicity. I think that's beautiful. I think that's what God wants. See, here's the thing. I mentioned this to our board. We've got 1,000 people moving into the city a month. 1,000 people. It's a lot of people from many different cultures and different backgrounds and different ethnicities. I'm so excited about that, because God's bringing the nations to Surrey. And can I tell you something? The nations that are coming from different countries, they think Canada is a Christian nation. Can you believe that? Can you believe that they actually expect to run into Christians? They actually expect you, as a church person, to talk to them. Go figure, eh? Isn't that amazing? And they expect you to talk to them about Jesus, because that's what these Canadian people believe, right? It's so cool. It's served to you on a platter. All you got to do is bring it out to the next person when they come in. See, here's our goal, folks, as believers, our responsibility. It's really actually quite simple. Just love them. You hearing me? Just love them. You got a new neighbor. Comes to you from who knows where. Brand new neighbor. We've got lots of Sikh community in our Sikh neighbors in our community. And have a cup of chai. Talk with them. Share with them. Let them know where you are, who you are. Hey, I'm Wes. And tell a little bit about who are you. Ask them a little bit about themselves. Develop a relationship. This is what God has called us to do. See, if you look at the back of our church on those windows, you may have seen it once or twice. This is our vision statement. This is where we want to be. We want to be a diverse church, meaning diversity means different cultures, different age group, different whatever, right? We want to be a diverse church. What is the second word there? Connecting. Connecting. How can I connect with my neighbor? I talked to someone this week, and they said, I know there's a lot of people that think Halloween is a day you should shut off your lights, close your doors, and go in your bedroom and pray all night. Well, maybe that's for some people. I think a better idea is, why don't you just go outside? Why don't you just put, like this person told me, they are going to go outside, they're going to set up a table, and they're going to have hot chocolate. So when the trick-or-treaters come by, they're just going to say to their parents, hey, listen, why don't you have a cup of hot chocolate? And just love on them. Connect with our neighbors. We want to connect them ultimately with Jesus, but we need to connect in some way. And empowering communities, empowering means we want to give them resources so that they can know God better, that they can know who we are, and that ultimately they can come into a saving knowledge of Jesus. It's really not difficult. It's simply living your life in a way of, God, how can I share? How can I be gracious to those that are around us? By the way, the term grace, and that's what the scripture says here as we just read. Grace means to be pleasant, to be attractive, to be charming, to be winsome. Can you imagine if every Christian would live that? Wouldn't that be something? Seriously, Pat, can you imagine if every single lady in your ladies group would be pleasant and attractive? Well, they're attractive anyways, all the ladies, we know they are, right? Charming, right? And if we made it a point to actually be exactly that, when we talk with people that are not believers, how do we do that? How do we live that up? Glad you asked. We gotta walk the walk, folks. We wanna walk the Christian walk. I don't know if you realize this, but you're being watched. How many of you know, if you call yourself a Christian, you're being watched, right? All the time. I was reading about a pastor, actually, he was new to a church in New York City. Will Houghton, Dr. Will Houghton is his name. Doesn't matter if you know him or not. He was pastoring in New York. And before he went to New York, he was pastoring another church in another place, Atlanta. And what happened was, he came to Atlanta. And this guy heard about this pastor coming to town. He didn't like pastors. I mean, pastors, they're all fake. You know, they get up on Sunday and they preach, and then who knows what they do Monday to Friday. I mean, seriously. So what he decided to do is he decided to hire a PI. That's short for private investigator, just in case you didn't know. So he hired this PI to follow this pastor around incognito, right, and watch him. And take notes, because you never know when you can use that. When he gets up on a Sunday morning, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to whip out the notebook. 2 weeks later, the PI came to this guy and says, here's my notes. Here's what I found out. And the guy looks at it and he goes, there's a problem. The problem is, what he preaches, he lives. Maybe that's not a problem, but it was a problem for the guy that was trying to discredit him. And the guy, after watching him and looking at all this stuff, he came to the church and gave his heart to Jesus. Let me ask you something. If you had a PI following you, and every single day, come on, Alberto, come on, every single day, he He's following you. He's watching you. He's taking notes. And he sees us on a Sunday morning or whatever. What would he come up with? Would he, in the end, say, man, I want what this guy's got or what this gal's got? Because, man, that's real. We need to walk the walk, folks. Are you hearing me? Now, that doesn't mean we don't mess up. Boy, do I mess up. If there's anybody here that doesn't mess up, I want to talk to you because you've got something that I don't got. But we all need to learn to say, God, I want more of you. 1 Thessalonians again. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 12 says this, we walk the walk so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. Isn't that great? Lord, help me to walk in a way that they will respect, not necessarily me, but the God that lives within me. Okay, you know the second part. If you're going to walk the walk, you're going to what? Talk the talk. Look at that. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let your conversation be full of grace. I don't know about you, but I've been in conversations where after being in that conversation, I wanted to go home and take a shower. You know what I'm talking about? In some conversation, you're like, oh, yeah, no, thanks, right? Let your conversation be full of grace. Let it be pleasant. Remember, what does grace mean? It means to be pleasant, to be attractive, to be charming, seasoned with salt. Salt back there was not just about making your food taste better. Salt back there was a preservative. Salt back there, yes, it brought flavor. If our conversation could be something that would bring flavor, that's something that would be pleasant to those that hear. Again, I know I've not always been there, and I'm sure you haven't always been there either. But I've met people where I've sat with them and listened, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, it's just nice. Just don't stop talking. Because they just have such a beautiful way of sharing what God has done in their life. And it was a pleasant evening. You ever walk away from those conversations? You spent an evening, and you go, man, that was good. That was really good. And you just kind of feel energized and encouraged. Doesn't mean that person has it all together, but it means that we choose to say things that honors God. It brings us to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Always be prepared to give an answer. We've used this one many times. To everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. In other words, at some point in time, somebody's going to ask you, what is it about you? Darren, what is it that you've got? I need that. And then we can give that answer. You know how that starts? You know how this happens? It happens when we say, God, just fill my life with agape. Fill my life with your pure, unconditional love. That love that is so pure that I can't even fathom the depth of it. Fill my life with that. I'm wondering, folks, what comes out of us? If we look at our lives, what comes out of our mouth? What comes out of our actions? What comes out of our attitudes? I'm wondering, is it something that is refreshing? Something that is enriching? Or is it something that may be contaminated? Something that may be toxic? Something that may be polluted? And I think it's good for us to evaluate ourselves. And can I also encourage you, I think it's good for us to evaluate, what are we pouring in? Because if we are allowing the Spirit of God to flow into our lives and we're saying, God, I just need your love. I need it here and I need it to come out here. And if we are exercising that and praying for that, I believe we get fresh water. I believe we can get fresh water. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, that you have called your people, us, every one of us, to be pure and holy in your sight. And Lord, I pray that you would forgive us. Forgive me for times, for saying or doing things that really absolutely do not honor you. Maybe brings attention to myself. and not attention to you. Forgive us for those times. And Lord, help us this week, God, to look for opportunities to share a message of encouragement, a message of hope. Help us this week to do what we can, Father, to allow to flow from us that pure, unconditional, perfect love that we can't make up in ourselves. It's got to come from you. You got to pour it in there, God. But as you pour, help us to just pour it out and to love those around us, to be kind even to those that are really hard to be kind to. And as we do so, Father, I pray that we would see lives encouraged, lives changed. And Father, even for ourselves, we would see our life just become more enriched. Let us be people of praise. I pray in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask in closing if Steve, can we sing the song of praise to the Lord once again, the one that we sang earlier? I think it's good. I think it's good to praise God. You've got some time. It's 10:02. We've got a little bit of time. Your kids are not ready to be let out until noon. Why don't we stand together? And let's just take a few minutes. Let's just praise God. Let's let what comes out of our mouths here this morning be something that God is really pleased with. Let's worship Him together.